We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mullion Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
And we weren't going to be buyers per se. I mean, just given the fact that, you know, the roster, the way we have it right now, and the fact we've had kind of a disjointed year with the injuries, we weren't going to trade Zach, Lowry, Wendell, Kobe. You know, we're going to go that route. Because we don't know what we have yet, and we need to see. We made a deal last trade deadline that we were hopeful would help us. You know, obviously Otto's had a lot of injuries since he's been here, but, you know, the way we're looking at it right now is that, you know, we anticipate that Lowry, Otto, and Wendell are going to be back by the end of this month, and that they can get back on the floor, and we can, you know, we can get them playing together a little bit and see where we're at.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What are we looking at? 20 game run for the Bulls at the end of the season?
A sprint, actually.
20 games. You know, you win, I don't know, 17 of them, and you make the playoffs, and then you just cut your way through the
Eastern Conference. It's going to take a run similar to that. I don't think they're going to go 17-3, but it's going to take them to get hot and to be exciting and to be different than to change the storyline coming out of the season, because I think there's a sense of anticipation, and that's overstating it, I'm sure, to use the word anticipation, but there's this, maybe you understand what's happening here. They're in the waiting mode. You have to wait for these players to get back on the floor. I don't know that you should expect much. We have seen a lot of this before, but I do think there's a sense of curiosity that at the end of this season, when the Bulls do reevaluate top to bottom, if they take a full accounting of the way things are, what changes will be made? And will those changes...
What super agent will they hire?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, something to that degree.
Oh, I gotcha.
I mean, you need a fresh set of eyes, I think, or you could justify bringing in somebody in addition to or instead of, however you want to frame it, however you want to structure it. But I do think that if this continues to go in this direction and trend negatively, then you could understand why the Bulls at the end of the season would want to, you know, bring in somebody whose ideas would be new and fresh and do what a lot of other teams have done.
We have a texter here, and I got to tell you, I love this idea. And the guy basically says, if you were at least entertaining the idea of trading for Nolan Arenado, why wouldn't the Sox be one of the six teams that would be an end Chris Bryant? And what would be worse for Cub fans if Bryant went to the White Sox or the Cardinals? I think the easy answer is the Cardinals, but I think that would be embittering if Chris Bryant wound up on the South Side and you got Aloy and you got Dylan Cease. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that would work.
The answer is the Cardinals, but to have a daily reminder of what could have been with Chris Bryant batting in front of Aloy Jimenez.
It's hilarious, isn't
Dylan
it?
Cease shuts you out.
I mean, Dustin is not amused by any of it, but I think I kind of find it funny that there's people that would get upset about it based on a previous deal. I mean, that, you know, who cares? You get what you can. You get the best deal you can for the player that you're trading. And
but if you're Theo Epstein, you don't want to give him to the Cardinals. You don't want to trade him
to the
White Sox.
No.
Those are fun things to consider, but very.
But I just think it's funny people are thinking about
it. It is funny.
Like, I thought your favorite text was Dustin, then in all caps, nobody wants you at 35th and Shields. And that's the only one I can read on the air about the response to that comment.
I think no one would be aware, Dustin. Go ahead and feel free.
I could go around and shake everybody's hands while I'm there.
Chris Bryant's Thursday projections, according to Pecota, 38th player in baseball with a 3.4 WAR.
And that's based off a couple of subpar seasons.
Yeah, I think it
you
is.
You know what I mean?
And I understand there's a lot of people out there that are questioning Chris Bryant and whether or not he's going to return to form and all of this and all that. And I get it because he hasn't produced and he hasn't stayed healthy necessarily, but I still think he's a player you can win with.
Pecota is a cruel mistress who has really angered Sox fans in the past and really kind of left Sox fans feeling miffed about the way Pecota evaluates. And I think even the year that they won the World Series, Pecota was just absolutely cruel to them. But there's some good stuff here. Josh Nelson from Sox Machine, he tweeted out the Pecota White Sox projection highlights. Obviously, we talked about Grandal with the 5.7 WAR.
That's crazy.
Which is fourth best in baseball.
That's crazy.
Right? Louis Robert, 4.0 WAR, which is the highest among all rookies. And Josh threw a couple of exclamation points behind it. Aloy projected for 38 homers and 100 RBI. Edwin Encarnacion projected for 35 home runs. Tim Anderson, a 2.8 WAR. And this cut line on Madrigal, 264, 319, 373.
Yeah, you would take that, right?
For a rookie? Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I just think that the Grandal thing is fascinating to me to see how much they value the defensive metrics and the framing, and that makes him the
fourth best player
in baseball.
Moncada with just a 2.7 WAR, so that's kind of a drag. I think he'll exceed that.
Well, that's exactly what Wilson Contreras has projected, 2.7. And when you see the difference in the disparity between him and Grandal, he's the 72nd ranked player. And I think that has a lot to do with what we're talking about, the framing, the impact on the pitching staff, and the defensive metrics.
Moncada and Wilson Contreras both have a 2.7 WAR, but Moncada's a better framer because apparently everyone is.
And he hasn't even caught a game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. Let's start with Kevin. He's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Molly, that was actually very funny about Moncada being a better framer. So I am 100% in on XFL. I don't know what that says about me as a person, but I'm 100% in on it, and I can't wait to watch because I'm sad when the Super Bowl is over. I had a serious question for you, though, about this Chris Bryant thing, and I don't want him going to the Sox or the Cardinals. I really don't want him going anywhere, to be honest with you. He needs to stay. But do they need to be under the cap by the beginning of the year or the end of the year? Because here was my thought, and you really got to think about this. Are the Cubs better with David Bodie at third and Bryant not here? And I don't want to trade Wilson Contreras either. But isn't the drop-off from Bryant to Bodie, then Contreras to Caratini, cavernous? And isn't this only like $2 million we're talking about? Like I said, I don't want to get rid of either of them, but why do they have to trade Bryant? It's super annoying. Like, and I don't get it. So when do they have to be under, and isn't there another way to figure it out?
I think it's through the season. I have to double check that. I think it's through the season, and there's a good chance that – look, but I don't know that getting rid of Chris Bryant, again, is entirely related to the idea of them getting under this, avoiding the luxury tax. I think it's probably, you know, you're not going to have to pay him $19 million. That helps get you there. But the reason they're trying to trade Chris Bryant is as much to do with his 2 years of control and the fear that they won't be able to – get a deal done, and he'll walk away for nothing, as much as it is to try to get under the luxury tax.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Kevin. Let's try Frank. Frank's in the West Loop. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, guys. You know, I always love to call in, and majority of the time I hate what Dustin says, but for the first time I'm in a little bit of an agreement. I would have to say, without, of course, in a perfect world, without dumping too much, including McCann, if we could have a legit possibility of getting Nolan Arenado, I would be all for it, okay, being a diehard Sox fan. For the simple fact that, and I'm not calling to argue with Cubs fans and say this, I'm tired of doing that. I've been doing it for 30-something years. So the Sox are going to have one of the best teams in baseball, bar none, okay? And it's usually those Cubs fans that used to wear the shirts, wait till next year, that would say about the Sox division. Okay, because up until recently, it would have been beautiful for any major league team to play Pittsburgh and Cincinnati 40 times a year. Okay, so being that said, the Sox are going to be one of the best teams in baseball, period. Adding Nolan Arenado could get us to the big show. I would make a stretch a year or two earlier than any other predictions, because it's a prediction. Anything can happen. Someone can get hurt. But without giving up too much of our young core, I would take Nolan Arenado in a heartbeat.
Thanks for the phone call, Frank. Appreciate you listening. That's not going to happen.
Well, we don't know about that until 5 o'clock.
The Arenado stuff is not going to happen, people. Okay. I'm with Steve Stone on this one.
Stoney texted stop. Just stop even bringing it up. I mean, it was hilarious.
How about that? That was very funny.
I laughed at that.
Basically.
Yeah, he was just like, stop it. And I loved it because it really was. It was like someone telling you, enough.
Well, the idea that they would make a move like that at this point just isn't realistic. And, here it says, for the last time, and please listen closely, this is Stoney tweeting 10 hours ago, there is no credibility to any Arenado to the White Sox rumors, none whatsoever. So don't tweet about it or ask about it or speculate about it. Not happening. Hasn't happened. Won't happen. Steve Stone.
Okay.
So you can stop the ticking of the clock.
This is 7 hours ago from MLB Intel. These are the guys that are the person. I don't know who they are.
Your guys.
These are your guys. And he says, or whatever, whomever it is, MLB Intel says, sources, the meeting, yes, they met in person, between Nolan Arenado and White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf went very well tonight. A decision expected tomorrow morning.
6:15, tick, tick, tick. So there's a report.
They're doubling down.
Quotes. They're doubling down on this, that they're claiming that there was a meeting between Arenado and
Jerry last night. 312-644-6767. Don't call Stoney. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. And we've been talking a little fantasy baseball. We've been talking, the Bulls didn't make any moves, and we need to get into that. But the possibility of the imaginary move somehow is overwhelming. When you start putting together your fantasy baseball team before the season starts on Wednesday.
I think that's players
report on Wednesday.
Pitchers and catchers report. The most fascinating thing that happened yesterday, though, to me in the NBA on the trade deadline day was not necessarily any move that was made from a player's perspective, but the Knicks hiring Leon Rose to be their president.
Yeah.
Former agent, kind of follows a pattern of teams going that route. And it does make you wonder about the viability or future in terms of being an executive of guys like B.J. Armstrong. Guys like Mark Bartlestein, who are Chicago-based. Mark Bartlestein, the Chicago-based agent. B.J. Armstrong obviously has a history with the Bulls and Chicago and has been in the front office for teams and now is an agent. And you do wonder, is this either A, genius, or B, insanity? And you wonder, it worked for the Lakers. It's worked for and you see it tried in other professions. The Mets went this route as well. Other teams have tried this. What do you think? Do you think that is a good direction for the Knicks to go after so many years of trying it the conventional way and it had not having it work?
I think, how do you put it? Okay, Pelinka played on that Michigan State team, right? I mean, he has a background in basketball. Who was the other guy that's the agent? He also played basketball. Who are we talking about? My mind is shut. Who else? Who's the other agent basketball guy? I'm losing my mind. Who's the
Rob Pelinka?
Who's the other guy? There's another one. This is the third one. But he's got a basketball background. So now you're hiring a guy that doesn't have a background in basketball? And where did World Wide West go to school? He went to some Division III college. But I mean,
well, he started out as a shoe guy. Bob Myers is a guy who you look at Golden State is okay. That's
right, exactly.
That's the best example.
There's a good example. Now there's a guy again. You know, you're talking about guys that have a background in the game. I don't know that this is going to work for them. I think they had to do something, David. I think if I was a Knicks fan, I would be pleased that they're trying this. And you know, West knows everybody. I mean, Rose has represented a ton of people. There's already been talk that they're going to get the old band back together. You know, we know how they failed trying to put a team together a year ago. Everybody went to Brooklyn. But I think if you look at it, they do have a lot of draft picks coming up.
They had a good day yesterday.
Yes, they had a really good day.
They had a very good day of building for the future, and you do wonder how Tom Thibodeau is going to coach those players.
But let me ask you something. Is that a blueprint now for teams?
I don't know. That's what I guess what I'm asking rhetorically is like, okay, if you are a struggling franchise like the Chicago Bulls just a few miles away.
The Mets are trying it. We know that, right? So that's baseball, but does it translate the same way?
So if you're a Bulls fan and you see the Bulls have a shakeup in the offseason and they elevate John Paxson to a role that's more – you know, overseer of everything, and he's not leaving the organization, people. Okay? Just don't expect that. And they bring in a new set of eyes, and those set of eyes belong to somebody like a Mark Bartlestein, like I don't think B.J. Armstrong makes sense, but like a former agent who you feel like is a guy that knows the league and can understand how to navigate some of the places that you aren't able to navigate in the past. That's why they're hiring Leon Rose. That's why they hired guys like that. Would that satisfy you as a Bulls fan? Do you think that's a smart way to go?
I think Bulls fans at this point are ready for change. I do. I think that Bulls fans would, it's just been, a long time. And I think that people somehow will kind of strive to have anything.
Here's what I struggle with. I don't know that would. I want somebody... If you're bringing in somebody new, and if you're the Knicks, I guess you have no other, nothing else has worked. So I guess I get it. But basketball credibility, somebody who has evaluated talent, somebody who
that
has
would help.
Made some deals before, somebody who has a track record of building a winner. I think that when you hire an agent to run your organization that has been so bad for so long, that to me kind of smells like an experiment. And it seems like it's very kind of it's a high risk. I don't know about the high reward yet. It just seems like it's a bit too much out there to be something I would embrace.
Again, I think with a team like the Knicks, they are in such a foul state, and everybody knows that James Dolan is kind of, half a clown. He's an arse clown, as you say in the business. So and now that I've said that, he'll throw me out of the building. I just think that you need – anything. You need any kind of change. You need to have a direction, a plan. And, the difference with the Bulls is they have a plan. We just haven't seen it executed because of the injuries. We talked about this yesterday. When John said what he said, I think we felt the same way.
Well, we said that, and I repeated it this morning, and it has been a disjointed season, and you don't know what they have, and then your texter's like, oh, stop making excuses for John Paxson and the Bulls. I don't think you're making excuses as much as you're just understanding that they haven't had the players that they have identified as being their core players on the floor at the same time. So the frustration is understandable, but how fair is it to conclude that this isn't a plan that's going to work when you just haven't seen more than 9 games of everybody together? Now, if you want to look at the 3-6 record and say, as Zach LaVine, I think, pointed out after the game, like they have been together and it hasn't been that great. Okay, I get it. But 9 games is, 10% of your season, essentially.
Listen, they haven't been together because Otto Porter Jr. hasn't been out there, and he does help them. He's a two-way player. He gives them spacing on offense. He does help them. But I don't know that anything is really going to help them. And I think that part of the problem when you watch the Bulls is Jim Boylan and that whole act and that whole – element of it, and I think it's wearing on the players. I don't know that I don't understand. What do the metrics say about guys that can't hit threes taking threes, right? I get what the metrics say about how many threes you have to take and how many you got to hit if you want a different team or how to go about doing it. But what if you don't have a guy that can hit threes? How then do the metrics work? How does that help you? And it just seems like with the Bulls in particular, you know, it's just a race to get to like 125. And it's easier to get there if you start jacking up threes, but maybe you'd be better off dunking the damn ball.
Yeah, maybe so. And, you know, we wait for the Otto Porter experiment to kind of see, you know,
behind
the floor. He's played 24 games as a Bull.
Well, and you're paying him a ton of dough.
24 games.
Yeah.
And they traded for him a year ago.
I know.
You forget he's on the team sometimes. I find myself forgetting he's on the team sometimes because he hasn't played at all this year. Pretty disappointing, and certainly you can't blame the player for injury. But, hey, there's an Adam Makoka sighting, guys. So all is well. We could shoot threes with Adam Makoka.
That was pretty good.
That was historic.
That was something. Yeah. 5 minutes.
15 points.
Yeah. Hey, got to cheer for something at the UC
Elias
last
Sports
night.
Bureau says that's the most points in the shortest period of time since the shot clock was invented.
Take that, Zion Williamson.
Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. John Heyman joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, John.
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are all fired up for this Nolan Arenado trade, the imaginary Arenado to the White Sox deal, which...
I missed that.
Yeah, it was someone tweeted something. I mean, Steve Stone had to set everyone straight. It's not happening. But why not? You know, why not keep adding to it? Let's go get them all. Come on.
Sure. Look, the White Sox have had a great, great winter, even without Nolan Arenado. But... I'm not going to be shocked if Arenado is traded. I mean, they're not a contender. They may think they are. I think their owner said they're going to win 94 games or something like that. I don't see it. They've done nothing. Nolan Arenado's upset. So I wouldn't be shocked if he was traded. I think the White Sox have spent what they're going to spend at this point. I mean, I guess if there's some great deal that comes along, maybe they'll consider that, but my understanding is from what they're telling agents is they're pretty much tapped out at this point. Maybe a little bit, but not $34 million or whatever Nolan Arenado makes.
John, we know that the Mookie Betts trade is kind of on hold after for some medicals, but when you look at what the Red Sox were getting in return, the prospects and the player kind of haul, how did that affect the market for Chris Bryant, if it does? Because that's what the way we're looking at it here in Chicago is, okay, if Mookie Betts can be traded, anybody can. And Chris Bryant, with 2 years left of control, you know, that kind of maybe is – it's one more than obviously Mookie Betts had. But how does that affect the marketplace?
You know, I thought it was a decent return for Mookie Betts. Apparently their fans did not think so. The Twitter backlash was bad for them. It's on hold right now, and we're not sure if it's due to a medical situation from the Twins' prospect that they didn't really love, or they're getting cold feet. That's what some of the people involved in the trade think, that, you know, the backlash has been bad. I thought that was a decent haul. Mookie Betts is considered one of the top two or three players in the game. Only 1 year to go, $27 million he makes, though. So they were able to unload half of the price deal with Price. So, I mean, I think that's a wash. The price is a wash loan. But they got back Alex Verdugo, a very talented player with some makeup issues, and this Brustar Graterol, who's now in question based on the medicals, apparently, maybe, I don't know. And he's probably a reliever. And to say now, wow, I think he might be a reliever after looking at the medicals, that shouldn't be a revelation to them. So, I think there are people that think that there's cold feet going on here. We will see. I think it's difficult to walk this back. How do they bring Mookie Betts and David Price to spring training when everybody knows they tried to trade him? So I think it's unlikely that it falls through. But from what I was hearing yesterday, there were people that thought perhaps it would. In terms of Chris Bryant, I still will be skeptical that they're going to trade him, because I think the Red Sox had pretty much in their mind decided they're not going to be able to compete with the Yankees this year, and their payroll is very high. They don't have prospects, and they needed to really take a step back. The Cubs look to me like they have a shot at the at that division that they're in. So I'd still be surprised if they traded Brian. I personally think you should get a little more for Brian because he's got 2 years. But Mookie Betts is obviously a very special player.
John, when you look at this Cubs roster, you think they can contend for a Central Division title?
I do. You know, at this moment, without pouring over the rosters, I like what the Reds did, and I'm kind of going to favor them slightly. But I think any one of three teams could win at this point. I don't see how the Brewers do it. I've been a Brewers skeptic for a while, but obviously they proved me wrong quite a bit over the last couple of years. But I'm going to say Reds 1, Cubs 2, Cardinals 3 at this moment.
Wow.
What when you think about the Mets, why did that deal fall apart with Steve Cohen? And I thought it was bizarre that Manfred said, well, it wasn't the Wilpons, but the Wilpons changed the deal late in the deal. I how would it not be on them if the deal falls apart?
Well, that's what got out, that the Mets changed the deal, but that was clearly Stevie Cohn or Stevie Cohn's people, probably his people, leaking that to others. You know, maybe there was some movement on both sides. I don't know. I don't think we're ever going to know. There was a non-disclosure agreement, so Stevie Cohn, at least through his people, was violating it at that time. And we, you know, an unnamed story from a representative of somebody who was fined $1.2 billion by the SEC at this point. I understand everybody doesn't want to believe the Mets because obviously, you know, their reputation is what it is, but people in baseball don't really know Stevie Cohen, and his reputation is not so hot. So, you know, MLB came out and said, don't blame the Wilpons, and until further notice, I'm going to believe them on that. They for all their faults, they have not been fined $1.2 billion by anybody to this point.
So, John, I see on Twitter that you have jury duty this week, so you're in the deliberating mode. as you ponder.
He was not guilty.
Oh, good. Well, good. Well, how about Pete Rose? Guilty or not?
Oh, boy.
Guilty, but time served, I say. I put him in the Hall of Fame. In terms of letting him back in, I'm going to defer that to Rob Manfred, the commissioner. Obviously, Pete Rose violated the sacred rule of baseball and then lied about it for decades, not just years, but decades. So if, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to employ him anyway. So I don't think that's the key. The key question, I think, is the Hall of Fame. And I'd put him on the ballot. If he's on the ballot, I would vote for him. I mean, he was a great ball player. Not everybody in the Hall of Fame is Mother Teresa. So I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
So you're not on board with this idea that that Chris Bryant's going anywhere, right? I mean,
I would tend to think no. I know that there was a rumor also, I don't know if it was the same source or a different one, that the Braves were heavily involved, and I don't know whether they were close to getting him or whatever they said. At that moment, I checked in, and the Braves had no discussions, were having no discussions about Chris Bryant. You know, the Nats obviously have lost Rendon. The Phillies don't have an obvious third baseman. They could possibly look into it, but I think the problem is the Cubs are probably look at it in division and say, you know, we can contend. So to give that up now, I think would be unlikely. You know, I think they're in a similar spot as the Indians, where they have a player who's likely to be gone in 2 years or certainly will be a free agent. But they're a contender in their division. As flawed as their roster may look at this point, and we recall how they really bombed in the second half or certainly the last month of the season, the other teams aren't great in their division, and I think it would be tough to give up a chance at a division title to make that trade.
And you know, the other element of it is if you're going to manipulate service time to get an extra year of a guy's service, why not keep him for the extra year that you manipulated?
Yeah, you could. Or, I mean, the other side of that coin would be his value is
more
greater
value. Yeah.
2 years. So, you know, I think in 1 year, I think a trade would have been impossible. Although I thought the trade for Betts was unlikely at the time, and they pulled it off, sort of. We'll see. I still think that they'll figure something out eventually. The vibe was negative yesterday. I was actually even hearing for the first time from people once I got out of the jury room. You know, it's possible that it may fall through. Possible. You know, it's not a complete certainty, but I still think that it's likely that they figure it out. It's just hard to envision Mookie Betts and David Price back in Red Sox camp and Maeda back with it, all that back together again. It's going to be difficult to envision, but if they truly have cold feet and or they saw something on that medical, although it should have been no surprise, Gratterol, the prospect they got, was out for a couple months last year with a shoulder issue, came back and pitched great at the end. He was throwing 100 miles an hour in relief. So relief shouldn't be a surprise. A shoulder issue, whatever it was, shouldn't be a surprise. And they should make this deal. And I personally think the Red Sox did okay. I worry about Verdugo with the makeup issues. That's been well documented throughout the game. He's got certainly a reputation there, and I get that, but he's very talented. And as is Gratterol, despite whatever they're claiming about him, the guy throws 100 miles an hour, so I don't know how hurt he could be. So I personally think Boston should just do the deal, but and I think ultimately some form of this deal probably will happen, but not as certainty as it was I thought 2 days ago.
Well, 2 days ago, in the aftermath of that news, I think when I looked at what they were doing, and I think I made the comment, this is bad for baseball. When a team like the Red Sox can't keep a player as good as Mookie Betts is because of payroll considerations, and they're moving him in the prime of his career, it's not good for the game. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you could look at it that way for sure, but by the same token, they're no different than the small market teams. Then they're in the same boat, and the advantage isn't as great as we think that a team has to or feels that it has to do the rebuild. I would prefer not to see any team do a rebuild, but that's not reality. That's baseball, and we know that. We've seen Boston do semi-rebuilds before. They traded Adrian Gonzalez, the same team, the Dodgers. Teams lived through it. I think Boston's a tough place, though. I think people, the fans were upset when they won 3 straight division titles and didn't win a World Series, and certainly the reaction is very strong in Boston, but it doesn't bother me because I look at it as we know the small market teams have to do it. Maybe it's better for the game if the big market teams are on an equal footing, so to speak, at least at times.
John, always a joy to talk to you. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Good stuff.
All right. Great talking to you guys. See you later.
That's John Heyman, radio.com, sports, MLB network. Can you imagine if you're like being accused of something and John Heyman's on your jury? I'd be looking over there like, is that the guy from MLB network? Hey, I know that guy.
He's going to get me traded.
Well, I just think it's amazing.
He said 2 things that really, I think.
Well, he said the Cubs are
more interesting.
Could win that division.
He said the Cubs were contenders for that division.
Yes.
Which is something you don't hear a lot this offseason. And number 2, he did kind of throw water on the idea that Chris Bryant is definitely getting traded before opening day. And I think he's probably among analysts in the minority on both things.
Right.
It doesn't make him wrong. It just makes it interesting because I think the consensus tends to be that the Cubs aren't going to win this division and that they will get rid of Chris Bryant.
I think the problem when we start evaluating how the Cubs are going to do in the division is that the division is tougher top to bottom. Obviously, you've got one team in the division that's probably going to lose 100 games, and that's Pittsburgh. But everybody else would seemingly have an outside shot, if not an inside shot, at winning the division. And so it's going to be competitive. The other thing is they didn't go out and do anything that makes you say, oh, that puts them over the top. The thing they did is change managers. And we're not certain what that adds up to. You know, someone texted in earlier, what does WAR mean? It's wins against replacement. So the idea is the guy that you have is this much better than a normal player at that position. Mm-hmm. So it'll add, 4 wins more if you got a really high WAR. What is the WAR for managers? It's supposed to be 2 or 3. So how are the Cubs going to get 10 games, 7 games better by making a managerial move and nothing else?
I don't know if David Ross wins above replacement is a 10 WAR Maddox. Manager.
Exactly.
No. And I think that's interesting. But when you look at the Reds and the way they have aggressively improved their roster, that's what you contrast that with the Cubs' approach is why people put the Reds ahead of the Cubs. In most projections, not all of them.
But does winning the offseason translate into regular season?
Not always. We've seen enough examples where that has not been the case. So it's not always.
Hopefully only on the South Side.
They did win the offseason.
They There's not
going away.
You know, the Twins made a comeback there at the end.
They made a couple of signings. Yeah, they did. With Josh Donaldson
and
Maeda.
And Maeda.
That's going to help their staff. So
they addressed needs.
But the Sox.
So listen, the Sox, the beauty of the Sox, they got two teams in their division that could lose 100 games, right? They got two teams that don't seem to care. You know, when you start looking up, just look around baseball at the really bad teams. There's only like six or seven of them. One's in the Cubs division. Two are in the Sox division. That's pretty good. Now, please trade Frankie Lindor, and let's get Cleveland down there. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.